Hallelujah. Father, I just pray, let me decrease. I don't want to give anything of myself, Lord. Father God, I just bind myself to the will of God. Father God, I just bind my mind to the mind of Christ. I bind my body, soul, and spirit, Father, to the fullness of your presence. Father, I just bind myself to you, God. Thank you for the discernment. Thank you for wisdom. Thank you for truth. Holy Spirit, we just pray for the anointing of your love and the anointing to be upon us right now in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we praise your name, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Right, well, this is the second part of the teaching that I did starting 2 weeks ago. We're talking about the end time, the rapture of the church. And if you haven't heard the message, I know that, Kath, it's on the website, isn't it? It is on the website, isn't it? Right, so if you missed the first part and you want to listen to it, if you go on to www.lakeshoreuk.com, then you'll find it on the messages page. So, now, what, as I said earlier, I was going to do two messages, but it's actually turned into three. You know, sometimes as you're going through it and you just look and think, well, I cannot leave that out. You know, so, I mean, you've got to draw a line somewhere, otherwise I just have the whole Bible on me note sheet. And that, you know, so you've got to sort of draw the line. But, you know, so tonight I'm going to touch on the coming of the Antichrist again. I'm not going to do the full thing on him this week. That'll be on the next one, right? So there's hints, there's a few scriptures in about him and things and that. But on the next one, we'll do how it affects with it here. What's happening in the world? Is the man alive? Is he on the world scene? There is a candidate who can line up with every scripture in the Bible concerning the man of sin. He doesn't just fulfill the biblical description of the Antichrist, but he fulfills all the Quran as well, which is the Muslim one. So it's interesting. So this man is a candidate because I've heard a lot of wacky theories and people who you might think are the Antichrists. And we've had type of Antichrists in the past, people like Antiochus Epiphanes and like Adolf Hitler and people like that. People thought Napoleon's an Antichrist and different. There's been Antichrist type figures, but the coming of the Antichrist, there will be a man who becomes a world president or whatever. We know this man is alive today. The Lord has revealed it to his prophets, to his apostles. We know who it is. So we'll be doing more on that in a couple of weeks' time. But I'm doing this tonight. And this is the coming of the Antichrist. And so from 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 7 and 8. The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it will do so until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Okay? So the coming of Antichrist, right? The mystery of lawlessness is already at work. And he who now restrains it will do so. So, until he is taken out of the way. Now, this is talking, as we spoke last week about the church. Some people have said that the Holy Spirit will go in the rapture and he'll be taken out. I don't believe it. I don't believe that at all. It just doesn't bear weight because people are still saved after the rapture. And so we'll look at that. It's not just glib statements that I'm speaking, but what I'm speaking is out of the word. And you know, and everything that I'll speak out here is out of the word. So we're asking the Holy Spirit to give you rhema, if you have no understanding. Maybe so you've just heard about this. But there's a time coming very soon when Jesus is coming back for his church, and he's lifting them out of here. If you don't know what the rapture is, but I'll just briefly recap. God, Jesus is coming for his church. He's going to take them up into heaven. Then the people who are not believers, who are non-Christians, are going to be left behind for a time that is known as the Great Tribulation. And if you think that Nazi Germany was bad, this has got nothing. Nazi Germany has got nothing compared to what is going to happen on the earth, yeah, when we have gone. And this, at the moment, you know that the spirit world is, you know, there's a spirit world around. We know Satan is the ruler of the world until Jesus comes back to take the throne. We know that the devil's got control over things. And that, you know. And we're surrounded by a spirit world. That world is hidden. When after the church goes, it won't be hidden. They won't be hidden. You're going to see demons walking down the street. I mean, this is so mad. This is what the Bible says. These things are here. I know, I've seen them. I've had confrontations with them for years and years and years. I've seen them. And once we go, the church goes, we are the thing that's holding back Satan at the moment. The church and the prayers of the saints are the only thing that's holding the devil back. And when we go out of the way, there's no reason for him to hide. There's no reason. And, you know, we know that at some point that they're going to be on the earth anyway, right? So we know at the moment it's the church who restrains. The Holy Spirit will still be here after we have gone. And, you know. So the scripture refers to the church. It's the present prayers of the saints that's holding back the powers of darkness. Some people have taught that this is the Holy Spirit that will be taken out of the way during the time of the Great Tribulation. But we know this to be untrue, as people will still be saved after the rapture. But you see, after the rapture, the ones who get saved will be martyred for their faith. They'll have their heads chopped off. And that, you know, so anyway. Revelation 7:4 says, "And I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed." And this, at this time in the tribulation, this is when you're going to see 144,000 Jewish people saved. 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. They're going to get madly filled with the Holy Spirit. They're going to be everywhere, absolutely on fire for Jesus. And, you know, a lot of them will get martyred for their faith. Revelation 7:14 says, "So he said to me, these are the ones who came out of the great tribulation, washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." So after the church is gone, and in this time of tribulation, you're going to get people saved, and people are going to get martyred for their faith. I want to be on the first resurrection out of here. I don't know about you. I do not want to stay behind. I do not want to have, you know, and I don't want any of my loved ones to be staying behind. I mean, neighbours, anybody else. So, beloved, we've got to tell people. And they can look at you and say they're mad, right? They looked at Noah and said he was mad. And they look at you and say you're mad. But it doesn't matter. I'd rather have them on judgment day stand to me and saying, "Why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you tell us? Oh, well, I thought you might think I was daft. Oh, you might not thought, oh, David's lost the plot." But no, beloved, if you love people, tell them. That's why we're here. And you know, so if you've got a fear about speaking to people, come and get prayer about it. Get over it. Do something to break its power. I used to be fearful, you know. Now I've spoken in 30 different countries. I've spoken to millions and millions of people. But at one time, my wife will tell you that I was really shy, wasn't I? And I wouldn't speak, and I used to speak like that. "Oi, mush, you know, mama, you know, behind me. Yeah, Chava, come here." Yeah. Everything was behind my hand, because it was like, that's the way I used to speak, so nobody could see what I was saying, you know? And it was like, you know, and it was like, I remember one time I was like I used to go on the streets with Dougie, and I would hide in the doorways and hand a tract out, you know, a little tract, testimony tract. I was scared in case anybody saw us in that, you know. Because, you know, he was preaching at the monument. We used to have the Black at Arms around the corner from the monument, you know. So I knew everybody was there, and I knew everybody. And I thought to myself, well, this is no good. And I felt the Lord sort of are you going to say something, are you? And I thought, well, yeah. And one day I just got up and I did it. And the power of God fell on the street awesomely. And I've never looked back since. You're not God over it. As soon as you do it, it breaks that fear. It's like, doesn't it, Sarah? Once you do it, it breaks the fear of it, doesn't it? Yeah. And it's like the Holy Spirit gives you an anointing for it. So you know, like I said, we've got to tell people that the end's getting near. And next week, when I do the next teaching, I'll bring it right up to bang up the date from the scripture. Is, you know, because we're seeing things unfold from the book of Revelation right now. Right now, there's things happening. So we'll do that anyway. So there's people going to get saved in this time known as the Great Tribulation. They'll be martyred for their faith. The devil's going to, there's going to be full force on the earth. Right. The Bible describes a man coming onto the world scene known as the Antichrist. Jesus refers to this man as the abomination who causes desolation. You can read that in Matthew 24, verse 15. This man will enter peaceably and will seem to all to be a good man. Daniel 11:24. But after a while, his true motives will be revealed. It says he will confirm a peace treaty with many for 1 week. Now, 1 week means, in the biblical, Daniel, 7 years. So when you say a week, it means 7 years. Okay? So it's a prophetic book, Daniel. You know, they call it, you know, the seven-year periods were called a week. And that's how they worked out, the wise men worked out the birth of Jesus, where he was going to be, where the dates. So they call it a week, 7 years. So there's going to be a peace treaty. It's going to last 7 years. But in the middle of the week, he will break it and bring an end to the sacrifice and offering in the temple of Jerusalem, Daniel 9:27. This man will sit in the temple and claim to be God. He will even set up a statue of himself that will speak and force people to worship it. Revelation 13:15. Like Nebuchadnezzar, at the beginning. So I'll read this out and I'll get into it a bit. He will be mortally wounded and healed. And his reign will last for 42 months, 3.5 years. So there's a 7 year period coming. This man will come onto the, he's in the world scene now in politics, right? But there's a period coming. And during this, he says he will confirm a peace treaty with many for 1 week. We know that this is a Middle Eastern thing. It's a Jewish thing. It's a thing with Israel. There is something in place already, which is called the Oslo Accord, which was signed in 1993. And this man will confirm that treaty. You can only confirm something that's already in existence. So this we'll be doing more about this in the next time. But this man is going to come. He's going to sit in the temple. He's going to do all kinds of false miracles. Fires, he can even make fire come from heaven. So many people are going to be deceived by this man. Right? He's going to claim to be Jesus, or he's going to be claim to be God, or he's going to claim to say, I've come to finish the work of Jesus, or he might even say, I've come to finish the work of Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha, and all these other ones. And what he's looking to do is unite religions. The man who's doing this is already the chairman of the Dialogue for Interfaith Studies, which is the group that is behind the One World Religion system, right? So there's a man alive today who chairs One World Religious System meetings. And in those meetings, this man has the Pope, the Dalai Lama, he has all of these other people coming to his palace, and so he's trying to unite the religions. Now, you might think, oh, doesn't that sound good? It sounds great, but it doesn't sound great to God. Lumping them in with Buddha and tin pot, monkey gods and God knows what else and that, you know. Who's who in the little god zoo, you know. So it's like, you know, it's like he's the almighty. He's the one and the only. He won't share him with anybody. He's the one and the only. Everything else after that is just like, you know, well, I'm not even going to go in there. But so here's this bloke who is, he's going to be seen to be a man of peace. And this man also chairs the World Peace Corporation, that sort of thing. I've got the proper name for what it is. So this man is bent on peace. And he really believes that he's doing good. He's being manipulated by the spirit within him. He just doesn't know it. He's being put on a destiny. He's on a destiny. So this man is going to come. But in so far, at some point, soon in the future, we will see a one world government. The way the economies are, they expect it to collapse at some point in the future. And they'll bring in a new form of currency. Or they'll bring in single currency. They've tried to do that all over the world as it is. You know, and we'll have the euro, which is, you know, which is an absolute disaster. But there's also another, you know, they've got other currencies prepared. The Americano. There's one for Asia. There's one for Australia, Australasia. There's six currencies. And the reason for that is it's easier to control six currencies than it is 350 currencies. They want control. They want to centralize everything. This man is going to be a world president. You know, you have Europe as a president now. We'll have a president in Europe. Do you know that? Now, Europe it has so much influence on our government and the lawmaking here that it's unreal. All these bizarre, stupid laws that are coming in from Europe. But, and I want to say something here. This man has a control over what goes on in Europe. There is something called the Club of Europe, the Club of Rome, which controls finances. There's people like, anybody heard of the Rothschilds? Anybody heard of the Rockefellers? These are and Tony Blair. Anybody Tony? Tony Blair's a member. Peter Mandelson's a member. These people are a part of this thing called the Club of Rome, and they influence what happens within political circles. The Rothschilds are not. You know, they're some of the richest people on earth, and they can, you know, the thing that's going on with the banks at the minute. They can control the banks and all that. They can tell them. They can fix rates. They can do whatever they want. And this man is the chairman of that whole thing. And he was put in there by Stephen Rockefeller, who spoke in his inaugural speech. It's different. This one man is controlling the world finances, the political scene, the financial scene. There's a man like we do. We'll go into all of this next time. But this man is going to claim to be God. At some point, he's going to sit in the temple in Jerusalem, and they're going to make a statue of him, and the statue's going to speak. The statue will be speaking to people. It tells you in the Word, in the book of Revelation, that he'll breathe life into the statue, and the statue will speak. And if you do not fall, in those days when it gets into the second half of the seven-year period, if you don't bow down and worship the statue, and they'll probably have them all over the place, then you'll be beheaded. In the olden days, in the book of Daniel, when Nebuchadnezzar built a statue of himself, he had to bow down and worship it. And Daniel and his pals refused to do that. Daniel's pals got thrown into a fiery furnace. Luckily, Jesus was there with them, and they never got burnt. And Jesus brought, you know, was in the, Jesus pre-Bethlehem, in there, when Nebuchadnezzar threw them in the flames. We've done the, if you've heard his preach on that, that there was Jesus in the flames of the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar jumped up his throne. He went, yeah, I thought we'd put three in. There's four of them. And he looks like the Son of God. And there was Jesus in the flames. So, in the end, it's a bit like what happened way back then with this Nebuchadnezzar and the statue. It's simply what is going to happen again in the end of days. So there's two parts to this seven-year period. And it's in the midst of that when I believe we will be going with the Lord. I think it's got to be in the first part of the seven-year period, somewhere within it, I believe we'll be going. Or we might just start seeing the second part. But that's when we'll be going. We will not be left here to face the wrath of God. We're being raptured out of here. And anybody that says you go through the great tribulation doesn't know what they're talking about. Because that's not what the Bible says. You will not go through tribulation. Because you've been saved by the grace of God. He's coming back for you. He's coming back to rapture his church. You won't be left here for that. You're gone. And didn't make the devil says, well, you never took your library books last week. You're not. You're going to hell. You know? You're born again. You're spirit-filled. You've been transferred from death to life. You're not going back and forwards every week, every day. You're gone. You're gone. You're citizen of heaven. You're no longer. Amen? Revelation 18:2. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. This is a big angel. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. So this time during the Great Tribulation, this is Babylon. He's talking. Babylon is Iraq, modern day Iraq, right? So at some point in the future, this is when the spirits start coming out, you know? The demons are everywhere, you know? And so, but as the days of Noah were, so will the, Matthew 24 says, as the days of Noah were, also with the coming of the Son of Man will be. Jesus is talking now. So in the Son of Man, the coming of the Son of Man, Matthew 24, right? And what he's talking about is the Nephilim. Before the flood, this is Jesus talking. Jesus said, as the days of Noah will be, so they shall be at the very end of days. Right? Now, in the days of Noah, you had the fallen angels that were polluting the bloodlines, trying to breed, and hybrids were getting bred. God cursed it, Genesis chapter 6. You can read it in Genesis chapter 6, how the fallen angels came, they started sleeping with women. This God was totally opposed to it. You know, these hybrids started to come. And what they were basically doing was trying to pollute the bloodline so that Christ the Messiah would never be born. And they were nearly successful, but there was one man called Noah who was found righteous in the sight of God. And, you know, from that line came Jesus. So the royal line was protected. The bloodline was protected. But the Nephilim, all these fallen angels, were polluting the earth. And like I said, they were sleeping with women. So God, it was so evil and wicked, God brought the flood. But Jesus says, at the end of days, it'll be exactly the same. Right? The Nephilim were in the earth those days, as it says, in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bore children to them, that the same were mighty men that were of old, the men of renown. Right? So what I'm trying to do here is show you the picture of what it's going to be like at the end of days. The Nephilim, the fallen angels, are just going to be everywhere. Right? There's a reason for this. Right? And you're going to have hell spilling out onto the earth. Right? So, the Nephilim, which Nephilim is Hebrew for fallen ones. You might read in it, I might hear somebody talking about the sons of Seth. There's an alternative view that this was the sons of Seth. However, I want to tell you, that view about the sons of Seth, not the Nephilim, right? And when it says the sons of God, sometimes it might have a translation that said the sons of Seth, right? The sons of Seth idea only came in AD 500. And it was not long after Constantine's thing. Before that, there was no line of Seth theory at all. That's when it came. I don't hold with it. I don't believe it. And the thing is that the church always believed the original view, the original scripts, that it was the Nephilim, these fallen angels that were thrown out of heaven. So I disregard the sons. So if somebody says, oh, well, it's the sons of Seth, you research the sons of Seth theory, and you'll find it didn't come till about AD 500, which is way after, you know. And before that, the church, the pre-church, that was always the opinion that it was fallen angels, right? So I'm not preaching anything that's not in the Word. But I'm just also giving you the alternative view there. Right? So the Nephilim on the earth. Now, you know, you've got, like I say, these fallen angels. Can you just knock the picture up, Kath? So that's a picture, you know. That's the sort of thing that you're talking about. They're quite big chaps. And, you know, they're Reckon the Nephilim are 15, 20 feet. There's bones and skeletons all over the earth. You can do some research on it. Some of them are counterfeits. Yeah, some of them are not, you know. But, and once again, Jesus, in 1 Peter 3:19, and also he went into prison and preached to the spirits in prison who were disobedient, and when the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, wherein few were chosen. So that was like, once again, the Nephilim were on the earth, these fallen angels. They're now in a place called Tartarus, which is under darkness. It's a prison, And so when Jesus went down into hell in Hades and let everybody out, he actually went in there and preached to them. You tried to stop me being born. You tried to pollute the bloodline, but here I am. Yeah, man, Jesus said, here I am. You know? Now, why the Nephilim come back and the thing, you know? Now, if you can imagine in the future, right, there's going to come a day when billions of people are going to be transported off the earth in one fell swoop on the day of the rapture. The devil has to have an answer for the people. Where have these people gone? Right? Now, if you see traditional pictures of Nephilim and that these tall, skinny men, they look like aliens, big eyes, big heads, and all that sort of thing. I actually believe, right, now this is only mine, this is not in the Bible, this is Brother Davey, right, but I actually believe that the Nephilim, when they start appearing on the earth after we've gone, right, we'll see those people were took away because they were rebellious. Those people couldn't fit into modern day society. These people would never have fitted in with this one world village, this one world thing, and all that. That's what I really believe, that, and I believe that Satan's got to have an excuse for the people. Where have all these people gone? Where have they all gone? And you know why people are seeing the Nephilim, these alien abductions and all of that? Because of flying saucers and all this sort of thing. Right? I'm keeping this within scripture as best I can, but, right? You're going to get these beings. People see these beings, right? People see these beings, right? And so, like I say, you've got this current thing about, UFOs and all of that. But I think that is the devil's excuse. And what he's going to say, aliens took them away. You know, you hear about people getting sort of caught up in the spaceship and that's, you know. But I believe the devil is going to say it to people. These people were taken away because they wouldn't fall into line. They had to be taken away and re-educated. That's what I really, something along those lines. And that, you know, so that's why you're seeing, a big increase in popularity in, you know, into this sort of thing, into aliens, alien abductions, and all this type of thing. They're getting ready. He's getting ready. And I think that could be the excuse. I don't know. I'm not going to be here. So I am to be in heaven. But it's just a thought there. And it says, Matthew 24, for there shall be great tribulation, such as not been from the beginning of the world until now, nor ever shall be. So you've got this time called the tribulation, where these things are going to be walking about, demons everywhere, horrendous. It says men will die of fear. People will be topping themselves left, right, and centre. It's going to be worse than anything you could ever imagine. But honestly, I'm not trying to just exhaust and, you know, frighten or anything. I am telling you what it's like. Jesus said there's never going to be a time like it. This is Jesus talking. You know, no such has not been from the beginning of the world, nor shall ever be. So this one particular time, if it's going to be really, Jesus is saying, it's a time like no other. Think about some of the things that have happened in like the Holocaust and things like that. This is going to be 100 times worse than that. This is it, you know. I would hate to be left behind for that. God, it's truth, you know. Right, Kathy, next one. So Jesus said the days of great tribulation will be like no other, horrific and barbaric beyond description. The church shall be raptured, then it will really happen. During this time, people will be saved. We know that this period, 144,000 Jews shall be saved, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes. Revelation 13:16-18 says, and he causes all the small and the great and the rich and the poor and the free and the bond that there be given them a mark on their right hand or upon their forehead, and no man should be able to buy or sell save that he hath the mark, even the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. He that hath understanding, let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. So I'm not really going to go into that tonight. Another angel, a third, followed them, saying with a great voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive the mark on his forehead or upon his hand, he shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is prepared unmixed in the cup of his anger, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Listen, if you take the mark, if it comes while we're here, do not take it under any circumstance. If they see you've got to have a mark in your hand, or a mark in your hand, or a chip in your hand, or whatever it is, that you cannot receive it. If you do, you will not go to heaven. If you take this mark, you will not go to heaven. I don't think we're going to be here for it. I think we're going to be gone. But if it comes while we are here, we're not allowed to take it. If you take it, you'll join the rest of them in the lake of fire. Right? So it's. You see, I think within this, I mean, I'll give a little bit about this. There are machines today where they can put something in your head and interfere with your brain waves. Do you know that you can actually, you know, there's technology, biotechnology today, that if you have no movement in your body, in your hands or in your legs, you can, with a chip, the special chip within you, you can move your body, you can live a sort of some kind of a life with it. So we know they have the technology to do this. And also, but I think that once you get one of those things in your head, to so wipe your brain of all your memories and everything else and other. You know, I mean, I remember when Mary Baxter, the woman who had the divine revelation of hell, if you've heard of Mary's testimony, she's a member of T.L. Lowry's church in New York, in Washington, D.C., sorry. Lady taken to hell for 40 days and 40 nights, saw in round hell and everything else. God took her to heaven, she saw around heaven. But at one point, Jesus gave her a vision of the end time, and the Antichrist was going from nation to nation, and had these centers, where they had the guillotines in there, where they were hopping the heads off people, but also they had these other machines, and it was a choice. See, if I get this in your head, and it was a machine that would put something like a chip or something in your head, and you had the chance either to take the mark or get the guillotine. Right? So, this is the vision that you saw, but what happened was that the chip in the head wiped the person's memory, totally brainwashed them into thinking, it's just something to bear in mind. It's not in the Bible, but I know that people have seen it in visions and things like that. We know this end times. God has said for a good reason, do not tear this mark in your hand or on your head. There's got to be, if Jesus says don't do something, it means don't put your hand in the fire so you don't get burned. Right? Don't do it. So, like you're saying, so if this time comes, don't worry about it. God will supply your needs. Just trust God. God will supply your needs. You not leave your high and dry. You're not, you know. So, but I don't think that we are actually going to be here to see a lot of this take place. I think we're going to be gone. Now, it's like, you know, why Babylon, right? You read in Revelations, Babylon the Great has fallen, all this, and that, you know. Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq, is the site of the Garden of Eden. They reckon it's the site of the Garden of Eden, where Babylon was. It's the ultimate place of God, of man's rebellion against God. If you read the story about Babel's Tower, where the people built a tower so high that it would reach the heavens, it was because of the flood, after the flood. And the people said, well, if God brings another flood, we'll have a... I mean, this is utter lunacy and stupidity. If God sends another flood, we will have a tower so high, it'll reach into the heavens. And so you won't be able to touch it. I mean, how mad is that? But this place, Babylon, was the ultimate place of rebellion, man's rebellion against God. Right? And when God is in many places in Scripture, as we will see next time when we do the thing, the Antichrist is called the King of Babylon. Many times God refers to him as the King of Babylon. Now, why would he do that? Why would he lump Isaiah 14:12, or Lucifer, son of the morning, lump him in with the King of Babylon? So the two are inseparable. When this Antichrist takes over, in the middle part of it, the devil will totally overtake him. Satan will totally overtake the Antichrist. Satan's going to be... So this person, we know that Iraq, right? We know that this person has a claim to the throne of Iraq. He will be put on the throne of Iraq. He has a legitimate claim to it. And, well, we've just got to watch for this happening, taking place. But let me tell you now, if I was investing in real estate anywhere, I would be investing in Babylon. If you've seen Dubai and how fast Dubai went up, and how fast Abu Dhabi went up, and how the tallest building in the world in Dubai, and you know, you've got the best hotels there. You've got, you know, the race tracks, the best Formula One, a whole lot, everything's there. And as fast as those places went up, let me tell you now, watch how fast. And I already know there's one of the biggest building projects in the world is happening today is in Babylon. And it says, cursed is any man who would try and rebuild Babylon. But this man has got carte blanche to do what he wants. And he's building Babylon. I've heard the Americans bought 124 acres of land and have built an embassy there. Right? Let me tell you, the world is getting ready for Babylon to become one of the main trading centers on the planet. Just watch, let it happen. So this is why, and then where it all started, the rebellion of the Garden of Eden, of Cain killing Abel, and then Babylon, Babel's Tower, and all this place is happening right in the same spot. And the same spirit is behind it that was behind the murder of Cain and of Abel when Cain killed him. So this thing in Iraq, when Saddam Hussein, I mean, this is why there's nobody answering questions about Iraq. They cannot answer it. All they have done is went in there on this man's behalf and got rid of Saddam Hussein. And that, none of them, and they're all asking, why Iraq? Why is my son died in Iraq? Why this, why that, why the other, why the other? It's because of this man. To put him on the throne of Iraq. That's what's coming. They've removed Saddam Hussein. They're going to put this guy on there. Watch what happens. So these entities, God is talking all about Babylon. Right? Now, when you have this time, so here's this man sitting in the temple, calling himself God, doing miracles, talking statues, all kinds going on, ruling the earth, and gradually it gets worse. It starts off good. You know, the first 3.5 years, you're going to see all prices, fuel prices, everything, zumph, go down. This man is going to be the answer to everybody's prayers. He's going to deceive people. People think he's wonderful, and he's going to heal people, and he's going to do all kinds of things, and you're going to think, oh, wasn't he great, fantastic. Right? And this is, but as time goes on, the real thing comes to pass. Now, during this time, you've got what you call the two witnesses. You heard of the two witnesses? The two witnesses are people who have got an enormous power of God to do all kinds of things. These two people are going to be going around denouncing the Antichrist and saying, you're not God. Yes, I am. No, you're not. And these two are going to go around. They're going to do extraordinary miracles as well. And they're going to really irritate the life out of this guy. And they're going to irritate the people on the earth, because the people on the earth are going to say, why are you saying this? You nutters. Why are you saying this? This man's great. He's fixed the oil crisis. He's fixed it. Look, we're having household goods for next to nothing. He's united the world. There's no kickoffs in the Middle East now. He's sorted all of that out. This man's wonderful. And when these two blokes going around, but you know what it is they cannot be killed either. Because God's put his hand of protection on them. And so, we're going to read from Revelation 11:3. So if you've got your Bible, Sandy, which I haven't. Great, isn't it? Brother David doesn't bring his Bible. So we're going to read from Revelation chapter 11. You got your Bibles. Is this okay? You're managing, handling it all right. Is it coming over all right? Right, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He didn't sound too sure about it, like, but praise the Lord. So Revelation 11. 11:3-19. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and he will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. That's 3.5 years. These are the two olive trees, and the two lampstands stand before the God of the earth. If anybody wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. So this is special heavy-duty protection God's given them. These have power to shut up heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy, and they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. So they've got carte blanche to do whatever they want, really. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war with them and overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the gate city, which is spiritually called Sodom in Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. This is Jerusalem. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put into graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying, "Come up here," and they ascended into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them go. Right. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake, and 1/10 of the city fell. And if the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid, and gave glory to God of heaven. Right, now, I just want to just stop there, because here's these guys, the two witnesses, who will be there up until the last day. Right, the last day before Jesus returns. Right, so on this last day, right, this is what's going to happen. These are given power to do what they want. Then, in the last few days, what happens is the beast's given power to kill them. He kills them. He lays the bodies out in the streets of Jerusalem. The whole world looks on, probably on Sky TV, and says, look, here's the ones who tormented the earth. They're dead. But then, what happens is, then they go up into heaven. They get raptured up into heaven. Now, these two men, who are they? Two witnesses. Many believe that Elijah and Enoch are the two witnesses, as these two men are yet to taste death. The word says that there's an appointed for men to live and then die. Some have suggested that Moses may also be a witness, but it is unlikely, as it means he would have to die again. Moses died on Mount Nebo just before Israel crossed into Canaan, right? So I know that Moses appeared when him and Elijah appeared to the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration, right? But it says in the Word, it's appointed for men to die once, to be born once and then die. Right? So Moses has already died. So can it be Moses? Otherwise, it would say, apart from Moses, which it doesn't say. Right? So Elijah never tasted death, because a chariot from fire came from him, which we read about last week or the week before. The chariot of fire came and picked him up. And so Elijah and Enoch are two people who've never tasted death. And these are two people who are really awesome men of God. So it's likely that it could be those people. So that's anyway, theory in that, you know. So they haven't tasted death. Now, reading from Revelation 19. So you've got this time happening. This is at the end of the tribulation time. And then it says, Revelation 19, verse 11, 14. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one else knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. So this is the time now where this is the last days of this tribulation period. The tribulation period lasts 3.5 years, 1260 days. Then these two guys are killed. Then they are raptured into heaven. It says there's a silence in heaven. And then then next thing that happens, he has the Lord coming with the armies. This is us coming back now. So this is what is going to happen. So I'm just trying to get this into perspective. If you want to read about this in your own time, we don't have time today. I'm starting to finish off. Revelation 19:14-21. And what it says during this time in verse 20 is the beast and the false prophet were captured and thrown into the lake of fire. Gehenna. Amen? Praise the Lord. Is that good news? And then it says Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. That's good news, isn't it? No power, no Satan in the world, no evil in the world, no death in the world. You know, this is good news, isn't it? Then I saw an angel coming from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit. This is Revelation 20, verses 1 and 2. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the keys to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid a hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who was the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. I would like to see that. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that had been beheaded for their testimony of Jesus, for the word of God, and such as worshipped not the beast, neither his image, and not received the mark upon their foreheads. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Right? So we've got 1,000 years to look forward to with Christ, without the devil. And during this time we'll live with Christ for 1,000 years, and this will conclude 7,000 years of man's history. Right? So 7 being the perfect number of God, and judgment will take place after 1,000 years. You don't get the judgment day will come after that. So in part 3 we'll look more closely at the man of sin, who he is, how he is affecting world events today. How does he line up with the scripture? And where are we today in the scheme of things? This is what we need to know, because there's changes happening now. And obviously I'll elaborate more on the next message about the Antichrist, about who he is, what he's doing, and how he's interfering with things, and where we are in the scheme of things. Now, so I just want to talk about, that's what I felt the Lord was saying to us, was just to share this bit. So this bit is coming, so that you know that we'll have the rapture. We're not going to see the wrath of God. I've heard people, all kinds of different theories. I'm sure Pastor Sid's heard a lot of different pre-trib, after-trib, mid-trib, whatever. I believe we will go in the midst of this period. That's my personal thing. I believe we'll see maybe some of the start of some of these things. But we will not be here for the wrath of God. You'll not be here for it. So don't worry about that. But to know, live in expectancy of the rapture, do good, tell people. But these things are coming in the next few years. They're not happening 50 years down the line. And I can show from scripture that I believe that because of certain things that Jesus said in the word, and the prophecies that are there, and things that are already happening, that we are living in these days now. We're living in days. You know, it talks about things like the Antichrist attack in Greece. What's happening in Greece at the moment? What's happening in Greece? The country's falling apart. The, that, you know, the economy's going all over, and who's putting the pressure on them? Europe is putting the pressure to fall into line. And you know, but when you know who the man behind Europe is, this man's already, it's all, another little scripture that's already been fulfilled in this day. These things are happening around me now, so we've got to live. But you know, we'll have the victory. Amen. We'll have the victory. You know, we're going to be caught up and sat in that heavenly place, and then we're going to, you know, we're going to have 1,000 years with Jesus with no sin and sickness and death on the earth. You know, and it's like, and then, you know, well, judgment comes after that. But you're not going to be judged on your sins. Your sins have been wiped out and washed away. It's a good deal all round, isn't it, you know? Praise the Lord, isn't it? You know, think about it. What you've been saved from. How many people are ignorant to this? You know, this is what, not what I say, this is what the Bible says. Why aren't they preaching it from? Why isn't it on the television? Why isn't it, you know? I mean, I know there's people on you know, God Channel, Chuck Mislam, people like that who are preaching it, which is great, you know? But, it, you know, now, people should know. I mean, I talk to some Christian leaders and I haven't got a clue what a rapture is. You know, some, you know, I mean, some people didn't even believe in, some of them didn't even believe in the resurrection. You know? You know? Yeah. You know, it's like, no, I'm not kind there, Lord. I'll behave myself. But, you know, it's like, and it's right, isn't it, you know? And it's like, but you have to know. If nobody tells you, then how are you ever going to know? And it's nice to preach prosperity, 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 or good, good, you know, or work yourself in. Half the churches are preaching works, righteousness, and all this and that. And, you know, it's, if you never know these things, how are you going to, you know? And so I want you know, we thank God. Lord, I just want to thank you for what you've done at the cross. And I know that I'm going to be there on the first thing, on the first resurrection. I'm gone. I'm gone. And expect to go. And if you're left behind, God help you. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. I just pray anybody gets left behind for that. You know, but it's like, we have to know. Now, if anybody wants copies of these things and that, let us know. I've got all the notes with the scriptures on and everything else. If you want them, what we'll do is we'll actually put them online on the website. And people can sort of download them and that, you know. But what I say is, don't just take my word for it. Go to the Bible and read it and let the Holy Spirit teach you on this and that, you know? You know, I mean, like I say, I mean, there's a whole, I could have spent hours, this whole thing, I could take it apart and spend weeks just talking about one of these subjects. But I'm trying to pack as much in as possible so you can understand it easy. And then, you know, but I'm saying, go away, study it. And then know it for yourself. Know that you know on the inside. Because I know, you know, and I know where I'm going. Thanks be to God. But Jesus is coming. But there's certain things that have to happen before Jesus comes. And these are the things that have to happen. And that, you know, but, so, I just pray that'll bless you. And I think that's it. And it's, so, but the next one, is the one that is like, it's going to be like relevant for today, where we're on the scheme of things and the Antichrist and all those other things and that. And well, Lord, Father, I just thank you tonight. Lord, we thank you for the cross and we thank you for the rapture. And that, Lord, we just want to thank you for all that you've done for us. And beloved, we know the day is coming when the Antichrist will be revealed, Lord, and on the earth. And but Lord, we know that you are, Lord, you're going to destroy him and all the works of darkness. The end has already been designed for them. They know the end is coming. They don't like what Brother Davey is preaching here today. Because what I'm speaking about is their end. I'm speaking about the day when that big old angel comes down from heaven, gets that big old chain and wraps it around Satan and says, come on you, down the big hole you go. And then, yeah, for 1,000 years. And then we'll not go into the after-facts of that. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he's not just a loser. He is the ultimate loser. The loser. Satan is the, not just a loser, the loser. Praise be to God, we serve a winning side. Praise, hallelujah, Jesus, I just thank you. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Father God.